Well, over the years, we've had inquiries about the church. And I'm talking about this church. The most common question is, do you have a local congregation near me? And that's generally what we hear. It's either typically through an email. What I typically have to answer is, no, we don't have a congregation that meets near you, but we do have live services. And that comes in over the overnet, and the fact that several of us actually participate, just as we are doing today, in that way, so that we, our congregation does assemble before God and with one another in that respect. And with very few exceptions, and I will note that the German work has had the majority of those exceptions, very few people really then follow through with pursuing what it is that this church teaches, what it stands for, and what we're actually about. And again, over the years of my lifetime, and I'm sure many of yours, the Church of God has suffered division because the truth became a point of compromise rather than adherence, and things changed. Going back to the summer of 2001, those of us who began to pull away from what we felt were false teachings formed together the Church of the Eternal God, along with the Church of God, a Christian fellowship in Canada, and then the Global Church of God in the United Kingdom. And our goal was to faithfully follow the Word of God. Our challenge has been, through all of that time, to live by the doctrines that you find in the Bible. They're the doctrines of God. And as I get into the sermonette, let me remind us of some of the fundamentals here that are at play, fundamentals in the Word of God, which have always been God's commands. First, in Isaiah 8 and verse 20, we find this. These are God's commands, so fundamental, but again, in the Old Testament, for those who think that it might lack credibility for Christians of this era, Isaiah 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. What law? Well, God's law and the testimony of his chosen prophets and those who administered his laws. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Light being tantamount to the truth of God. And then while we're in Isaiah, I'd like to back up to Isaiah 5 and verse 20 and verse 21 in Isaiah 5. God treats compromise very seriously. He doesn't accept it. He condemns it. Isaiah 5 and verse 20, woe to those who call evil good. And that's what compromise ends up being. And they call good evil. We've experienced that over the years, more than once, unfortunately. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those, God says, who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And consequently, after the breakup of the Worldwide Church of God, how many, I could say dozens, but literally how many hundreds of different groups would fulfill what is being spoken of here in Isaiah 5 in these verses? People who are prudent in their own sight, they'll make the rules, they'll decide. Not by the test of the Word of God, but in their own imagination. Now going forward into the New Testament, among the many prophecies of the Bible, there is one that is finding its fulfillment in our time, and it's something that Paul wrote, something that we've preached about many times over the years. We've heard about it. It's been written about. It's a prophecy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 2 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Timothy is giving instruction to a minister in the church. And he begins it this way. He said, "Preach the word." Well, what word? What preaching? Well, we know, just as Timothy did at the time, it was the gospel of the kingdom of God. To proclaim that, which would then lead people to the knowledge of God, repentance, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. In other words, don't quit. Keep going. Convince. Rebuke. Yes. Exhort. Strong words here. But with all long-suffering and teaching. And then this powerful prophetic statement in verse 3. For the time will come, and brethren, the time has come, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And I don't know if you can use a gesture to heap something up and get it into a nice big rounded pile, but that's my vision, mind's eye view of what that scripture is talking about. Heaping up for themselves teachers. Not much is mentioned here about these people basing what they believe on the Word of God. And look what happens in verse 4. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, Timothy, be watchful in all things. Be a gatekeeper of the truth, and that mantle has passed down through the generations, and it falls now to those of us who value the truth to proclaim only the truth. He goes on, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Well, what is that work? Again, he's talking about fulfilling your ministry here as the verse ends. The ministry of preaching the gospel, of feeding the flock of God, of taking care of the church, of not letting false doctrine enter into the church. Paul was not writing both prophetically and then in a timely manner for no cause here. In the first era of the Church of God, a battle was fought, and many lost that battle because apostasy, set in even then. And as Paul and others warn, the struggle will continue until Christ returns. It's what we face today. We can find great similarities for some of the problems that were written about in the early New Testament church with what we experience today. Brethren, we must choose. And a choice has always been placed before, first of all, mankind. It's been placed before nations, and it is placed before the Church of God in our time and in our day as we individually fight for the faith once delivered. But I want to just pick up in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19 this call by God that echoes down through the millennia here in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, God commands, he encourages, he appeals that we choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. And it does have a great influence on our descendants, on our families, on our nations when we choose to walk in the light. Now here are the notes to my sermonette. They're found in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 10. Because here is where I get the title that you heard about in the introduction for this sermonette. Here is represented a life of choices. And let's just read those 10 verses here. I'll try to do that quickly. It says, Paul writing, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things, brethren, which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Right now, the ruler of this church, the one who has sustained it and will sustain it until his return, is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Things, brethren, that these package, this term that kind of packages a lot together, but they're talking about the things of God. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Some who've entered into the depths of apostasy and hypocrisy do not look for that. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. He lists these: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, he goes on to say. And it's because of these things, this is the reason the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And brethren, we have drawn very frighteningly close to that, and on the one hand, but also something that we can rejoice that Christ will be sent back to this earth. But before that happens, the wrath of God will be poured out for all of these evils that people have allowed themselves to participate in. And he goes on saying, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these things. Again, listing anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Is that something we still participate in, any of us? Shame on us if we do. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created you. So there are those things of God and these things of the world. We need to choose the things of God. Whether or not we will be in the kingdom of God depends on our faithfulness to his truth. This isn't something about which any of us can ever compromise, brethren, and I'll leave you with the same words that God has set before all of us. Choose life. Choose life. Have the courage to hang on to the truth of God, and if you can do that, you will get the eternal life and the promise of a glory-filled life in the kingdom of God forever and ever.